Just lucky, thanks. I'll stand at the bar. I shouldn't wish to attract attention.
Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
You're gonna eat lightning, you're gonna crap thunder.
We're friends to the end, remember?
You're unbearably naive.
Well, I was born yesterday.
I'm gonna make this pencil disappear.
Ta-da! Swallow this.
Long live the king.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
For this panel. And I'm going to bring in the original April O'Neil, one and only Judith Hall. Hello. And next we are going to bring in this guy. Come on.
Coleman!
Coleman, come on. Oh my Lord. I'm so sorry. And we're going to bring in the one and only Ernie Reyes Jr.
Hi, everybody.
Yes, absolutely. And Townsend, I'm so I was reminiscing with
Judith.
With Miss Hogue, yes.
Yes, because we worked together before in Hartford, Connecticut. And, I totally forgot.
No worries, man. Yeah, so I'm the guy with two last names.
Yes!
Actually, I got three last names. My middle name is Putnam. And I'm the third, so wear that when you're six.
So here I am. I am prepping the crowd, and then I'm going to get caught up with someone. And I see Ernie in the back, and I completely forgot. And boy, that was really unprofessional of me.
No, anyway. You know how, like, when you have to remember something, like, your family, you're meeting somebody for the first time, and here comes that person, and you know that person.
And then you blank.
Exactly.
Hey, you! How are you?
And that is what happened to me. Anyway, how is the convention treating you guys so far? Come on in, have a seat, please. Well, look at this crowd first. Yeah, why don't you guys give yourselves a round of applause first for being here.
You made it. Thank you.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm great.
Are you still in LA?
Yeah, I am still in LA.
How's that?
Well, I mean, not at this very moment, but it's going great. And I had an interesting day yesterday just trying to get here. My flight got canceled in Charlotte, and so I thought maybe I wouldn't make it till tomorrow.
Right.
But ended up getting a flight late last night. I got in about midnight, so I'm a little...
See, guys, this is what happened to me when Judith walked in. I was like, oh, my God, I haven't seen you. Like, it's been
a long time,
very long time. Anyhow, like I said earlier, if you guys have a question, please line up at that mic because we're going to be gabbing. And this is your time with them. I'm just here to lead the way. So if you have a question, please line up.
Yeah. Oh, and let me just mention, too, if you want to come by my table, you'll recognize me real well because I have no banner.
Really?
Yeah, it just says, we put my nameplate up on top, says Townsend Coleman. So you'll recognize the Townsend and the Coleman part, but you won't see any pictures. So.
We're in a place with tons of artists, and we can't have somebody to draw something?
Suppose we need something. Somebody with some paint, come by and just draw Michelangelo on the curtain behind me.
We know people here. We can get somebody to draw you something.
Yeah.
But we don't need to.
Oh, I remember that one.
But no, it was lovely. But it was what it was, and we had no names behind us. And fortunately, there were a lot of fans there, and so poster up behind me. And then I say, can I, let me use this this weekend. I'm signing it by blood.
Right. So, well, it's interesting because when you're a face actor, like this young lady here, they recognize you. But when you're a voice actor, right. They just walk by you and they don't recognize you. Right. So I'm here. But I'm here. Cowabunga, dudes! All right. Wow. Well, that's all I needed to get out of my system. Or turtle power! All right, I feel much better.
All right. Ernie, you had an exciting life. You...
Ernie!
Yeah, just amazing. I mean...
Ernie!
And it...
I love him. And... He's got the softest t-shirt on. Sweater.
Poor excuse. Go ahead and rub me.
Dude, you beat up The Rock. This guy beat up The Rock. I don't know if you guys know that, but he beat up The Rock.
That's right.
Yeah, I had to let him smell what I was cooking.
Ernie's got the moves, baby.
were you a fan of the Turtles before you were in the first movie? Then
I mean, I was aware of them. I have a younger brother, and so he was into toys and stuff like that. So I was aware of it. I wasn't aware of how big it was.
Now, when they approached you, okay, you're going to get in a suit and you're going to do this. How much of the choreography and the fight scenes were you behind? You're saying, hey, you know what? I don't want to do this. I think you would do this instead. Because in Secret of the Ooze, dude, you were just like lightning fast.
Right.
Your control, your control was amazing. And they had to slow down the camera for you. I mean, like, what the hell, man?
So in the first movie, it was the first time that they were bringing over Hong Kong stunt guys to work on an American production. And so at that time, the Hong Kong stunt guys, especially in the genre of martial arts, were kind of considered a notch above what we were doing here in America, like in the 80s or whatever. You know, in Hong Kong, you don't have to have permits and you don't have to have safety rules. They're like, hey, yeah, you're going to jump off the building and then land on the ground. No crash pads, you know, and we're going to give you a stunt adjustment. Here's your bowl of rice. In America, you have...
Wah, wah, wah.
No, but in America,
yeah, no,
you have
sign
all...
Sign me up.
No, you have, in America, you have all these rules and regulations and safety. And so the things that Jackie Chan was doing, like, and you could never do those live, like, physical stunts the way that they were doing them in America without having, you know, a lot of permits, and it just costs a lot of money to do huge action sequences.
Or a medic.
Or a medic, yeah. Anyways, long story short, one of the guys hurt his back in rehearsal, and so Pat Johnson, who was the stunt coordinator on the show, called me up. I had known him since I was a little kid competing in martial arts tournaments, and he asked me if I wanted to do, work on the movie, that it wasn't going to be any acting, it was just going to be stunts, and I was super excited. That's how I got brought on to the project. And then at the end of the first movie, they told me that I was going to have a human character for the second film. So Pat, in terms of the choreography, Pat pretty much let us do whatever we wanted to do. So in the first movie, there was four guys. We would go and we'd sing and we would choreograph the stuff, and then we would show it to him. He'd give us a thumbs up, and then that's what it was. So it was like really, really fun, because normally there's like these long-winded creative discussions on what the fight scene should be with people that don't know anything about martial arts or fight scenes, and it's just like kind of a drag. But this was like total freedom, and he was really happy with everything we do. It was super fun to work on.
So I got a question for you. So what was it hard fighting in those suits?
Oh yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it was North Carolina, the middle of summer. It was like 102 degrees with 100% humidity, and then we were in the suits, and you know, it's kind of like there were these latex foam rubber suits that weighed about, I don't know, it was like 50 pounds, And then, you know, you can imagine like a Nerf football. You put like a Nerf football in water and it kind of just all holds. So you're just fighting for like 10 hours a day, sweating in these things, and it's just all getting heavier and heavier as the day goes on. It was a really pretty much nightmare, but it was at the same time you knew you were doing, you were part of something special. And so, you know, that's what it is making movies. There are long hours, it's hard work. People think it's just all a lot of fun. It's really tiring work. But when you're doing something that you know is something special while you're shooting it, it always is just all worth it.
Special. It was lightning in a bottle.
Right. What was crazy, when we were recording the cartoon series, they made us wear the suits, too, in the studios. That was weird.
Wow.
And you, too. You in the suit? I got to tell you, that suit that you had looked so much like you.
It was
like so lifelike.
It was crazy. And they wouldn't let me keep it. So, damn.
Judith, I can't remember if I asked you this, but were you, did you know anything about the Turtles when you
filmed? I knew nothing. And, you know, Townsend, I did not find out that there was even a cartoon until, I don't know, last week of shooting. I was like, if you, like, maybe somebody could have told me, I could have watched,
I could have done some research.
But apparently that was intentional. Todd Langdon, who's, you know, top-billed screenwriter for the film, when they said write the movie, they gave him a stack of the original comics. And they said, this is your reference material. And they said, I think they told him, don't watch the cartoon. Not that the cartoon wasn't excellent, because clearly, oh my God, you guys are amazing. But they really wanted to go darker and a little more adult, which I think is... people love, but it got them in trouble with the studio, and it got them, there were a lot of people, they did a screening of the film. I want to say they did it at Paramount, and it was before the film opened. There were no kids in the room, it was just executives, and they were watching this darkly lit movie that was not the happy, sunny cartoon that they were used to. Not that it wasn't complicated, and that they had good storylines, but it was not the same feeling. And they thought, like, the movie was over, and usually people might clap, and it was just like, okay, well, thank you. And they left thinking, we've probably lost our careers, all money, and we'll never work in this town again. And so when the film opened, they thought, well, let's just drive around L.A. and just see, like, is it a ghost town? Is anybody in line? And they saw lines down the block, around the corner. They were stunned. They're like, and I don't think it was, yay, we're going to, you know, the movie's a success. It's, yay, we get to keep our jobs.
Right.
We won't be run out of town.
Right.
And so, yeah, we had no idea. And I didn't know what it was. And it was really Robin Williams who said, that's a cool thing. Keep going.
Well, yeah. when that happened, I feel like we sort of set it up, and then you guys hit it out of the park and really launched this thing. You know,
which we could not have done without you guys.
Well, in a whole different direction. And what's interesting about that is, so we have been on the air for a couple of years already by that time, and we knew nothing about the movie being made. So when we read about, yeah.
No, I can't believe the voices.
Well, so here's the same thing.
That's
so what?
Like, what? That's a tie-in. That would have been really good.
Yeah.
But we don't love our voices.
No, yes and no, because what you just said about them not wanting you guys to watch the cartoon.
There you go.
I figure it's, and it's interesting to hear that, because I figure that that's the same thing that we got kind of on our end when we heard about this movie being made. We read about it in the trades, that there's a live-action Ninja Turtle movie coming out. And so we just assumed that since we were the voices of the Turtles, we knew that they were going to have to be actors
cast
in suits. So they were going to need us, right? And then they didn't.
Welcome to the heartache of Ninja Turtles.
Exactly.
We've all been there.
We waited and waited and waited.
And then the movie came out.
And then just about, yeah. And so our agents got a hold of the producers, and they said, "Nah, we're good. We got our own guys." And they're like, "But wait a minute,
these are the guys."
Yeah, we're the guys. They said, "No, we're going in kind of a little different direction. It's a little darker. It's a little different feel and stuff. We don't want the cartoon sound in our movie." And we're like, "Oh." And so to get it from your perspective, we got the same thing.
Well, there's another layer to that story.
Ooh, it gets better.
So I had the most amazing actors in those suits. It was Josh Pice. It was Lee Tilden, and it was David Foreman. Now, David was a stuntman from England and had a British accent, and I knew that probably he would be dubbed.
But Michelangelo.
Cowabunga. Right. Let's have some bangers on our pizza.
Right now.
It doesn't go like that.
Anchovy and hot fudge, please.
Right now.
Okay, your turn. Go ahead.
Wait. But I had gone in. I had to do ADR in the film, which is looping, so you have to basically lip sync the whole thing. I had never done ADR in my life. I had to do 90% of the movie, like all my dialogue, in ADR, in 8 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And I'd never done it before. It was the most thorough lesson in how to do that in your life. But still, nobody told me that when I was sitting there at the premiere, that when these turtles opened up their mouths, because I was used to these incredible actors who, it was their voices, it was my interaction with them, the movie opens and there's these voices that I'm like,
who is that?
Who are these people? Like, what just happened? Like, and I was shocked. And so it was, the lines of communication broke down in so many, many ways. And many of us were stunned and mystified.
We have an audience question. What's your name?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, man.
You guys,
hey, babe.
What's your name?
Of course.
Sasha.
We can't forget Sasha.
So I had a quick question. I know that after the movie came out, the season's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the animated series, they changed the whole show. And they, instead of the theme being Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, now they changed it to, and they had the movie scenes in the, you know, in the cartoon later on in season 8, 9. Why was that? And they made it much darker afterwards. Now it wasn't like that fun comedy that it always was.
Right, and I'll tell you, we recognized that change when it happened. You know, it was long around about season 6 or so. It's like somebody upstairs got this idea that, nah, we want to make this a little bit darker. We want to go a little more in the direction of the features. And we thought, well, okay. And they started introducing, you know, Lord Dreg and some other characters at that time. And just took it in a little bit different direction. It felt to me personally like a very different show. Because the show that, you know, we started off doing was very light and fun and playful and stuff. And really, I think, sort of geared toward kids. And I guess the producers just decided they wanted to try and, you know, bring up that age a little bit, make it a little bit darker, and sort of tie it into the films that had, you know, become so popular by that time. So we definitely, I remember those days and going, wow, I mean, we got new characters on the show and it's just that the writing is different now. And I didn't quite know what to make of it, but, you know, I just kept suiting up and showing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They kind of did that, though, with the films, too, where it was very dark and had a very cinematic feel to it.
Yep.
And it broke records. It was, like, extremely successful. And then when they did the second film, they really did lean into more of a, I guess they caught a lot of flack for the kids, as people were karate chopping the babies.
Doggone it.
But don't do that.
Don't karate chop your baby.
But it was like, it's had a sort of a schizophrenic life to it. Like, there's a lot of cooks. There's a lot of cooks and a lot of point of views. And it's like, what are we doing now?
Well, what's interesting about that now, too, is, you know, I mean, since Nickelodeon has a franchise and all the series that they've been making along the way, every series has its own personality.
Yes.
And feel, you know. I mean, it's a different set of voice actors, different animation styles. I mean, very different animation styles. And it's interesting for me to meet fans who have their favorite version of the Turtles and don't like other versions of it. And sometimes you guys are very passionate about that. You know, which I think is just fascinating. You know, it's like, what is it that draws somebody to a certain animation style? Or maybe it's the voice actor, or maybe it's the combination of the cast. I don't know. But, yeah, so definitely.
I mean, I've definitely had people say to me, you know, try to diss other Aprils. And I was like, not having it here. Because I feel like in this turtle universe, there's like room for all of it. It's kind of like, how many Spider-Men have we had? How many Batman have we had? How many different iterations of something? And what I love is just that the franchise stays alive and that there's something for everybody in different generations.
Yep.
And I love that. And so, like, when people are dissing, I remember it was so funny, like, Megan Fox is going to try to, I was like, hi. Big compliment, like, she's hot. And then when I got to work with her, it was like, and you're way greater than I could have been. So it was, I feel like there's a lot of room for it. And you guys are so passionate, we love that.
Absolutely. Without you guys, there wouldn't be us. So yeah. Thank you. You.
I think.
So I've got to go, you just mentioned something about, just like, with Megan Fox and being hot. So Renee Jacobs.
Also hot. Renee Jacobs, the original.
So Renee, of course, was the voice of April on our show. And she has, I guess she's gotten used to it now, but over the years, so people would start drawing fan art, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when it came to April, some of them took great liberties of really making
April. Oh, my
April.
Lord. I have seen April. That's like, wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So how does that make you feel?
I laugh. I think it's hilarious. All of this, like, we're so lucky. First right. of all, we wanted to go into our professions and be successful. And we've gotten that. And to be, you know, this is 35. It's longer for you. You're almost at.
Gosh, it's going to be. Well, 87 was our version. So 36 years.
Yeah. So the fact that we're here and we're doing this is massive. And, like, it's just like, I don't know. I see it as just a full on thing. And all of it is, if I take it too seriously, I'm up a slap.
Right.
I live in Western Massachusetts, Northampton, where the turtles are.
Northampton, yeah, sure you do.
Where the turtles were created, in my backyard. I still have, I'm a huge comic book collector, go figure. So I do have my original run of the turtles.
Oh.
So now a lot of people are going to go groan, but when the cartoon first came out, I was one of those people that were like, that ain't my Ninja Turtles.
No, it was totally.
Yeah, but when the movie.
You had the comics.
Correct.
Right.
When the movie came out.
What's with these colors? Why are they?
Exactly.
They should all be
black.
Well,
I was like, why? No, they're all. Well, actually, no, they were all black and white.
Black and white, well.
Yeah. And then they became, you know, all red. But when the movie came out, I was like, that's my Ninja Turtles. Those were my turtles. And it was like, but I grew to love the cartoon because it was hilarious. But the movie was more my turtles. We have another question.
Yeah, I wanted one more question.
Oh,
yeah. What did you
this one's going to cost you.
I bet.
Ernie wants pepperoni.
There you go.
Judith, what
I'll
do you want?
I'll have a Bloody Mary.
Walmart. They have the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pizzas.
Oh, there we go. Townsend, what do you want?
In Walmart.
Townsend, what do you want?
Check it out. Yeah.
So the question I had, what did you guys think about the 2014 movies and 2016, like when they first came out and the different style that the Turtles were and the action, if they had any.
Yeah, but the later,
yeah, the later
ones.
I mean, I'm not a fan of those. So just, I mean, I thought that they looked way different. And I don't know. I mean, it's a lot longer, deeper story than that I won't go into. But that's my general take on it. You know,
I
could have done without them.
Yeah.
That's my personal thing. I thought the first one was okay. I thought it was, they had some funny moments in it, but I couldn't really get over the fact that like they were huge, the 6'4". Like I thought they were little, like
yeah,
small guys. So I don't know. That was just.
I was contacted. And just note to self, if TMZ calls you, don't
pick up.
And I know that. Like, I knew that.
Yeah, if your phone rings,
and, but when they announced that they were going to do Ninja Turtles, it was Michael Bay. And a lot of people came out real hot and heavy and not happy. And Robbie Riss, who I love, was like something. And... And I've worked with Michael. Like, I did Armageddon with him. I actually have, you know, it was a, I like him. You may not love his movies, you may not, but I was like, hey, it lives on. And so they got in touch with me, and I thought, I'm going to, like, just say nice things. They managed to, like, turn it around, and I'm a little snippy about it. My feeling is, and was always, it's a franchise. It's like Marvel, not as big, but, you know, and
bigger.
There's bigger. It's bigger than Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, there's room for all, like, all I want is for people to be successful.
Yeah.
The end. Yeah. The end. Do well.
Guys.
So I'll give you just
let's give her a round of applause. Right. She's really like that, too.
I hate to do this, but this was the quickest half hour of like
that
all time.
Are we done?
That's
yeah.
Over.
No, we're good. She's
so
got a question. She's
we have one quick question. What's your name?
Danielle.
Hello, Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
All right. So hi. I have this question for Ernie specifically.
Okay. Oh my God.
Because like I grew up watching Secret of the Ooze like religiously as a kid. That was my favorite out of all three. Like screw the other two, I'm sorry, but like Secret of the Ooze will always have my heart.
He's so cute.
No, not even that. Just like
I think it's the ninja
tone
rap.
Of it better.
And at least Michelangelo was your favorite though, right?
He is. All
right.
And Donatello too. Like that movie, I have to say, had pretty deep moments, specifically with Donatello questioning all of his self-worth after finding out that everything that happened with the ooze was all a big mistake. And I think that that was something very poignant to that film that I very much like hold dear, that they still managed to like put in like references to stuff like that, very deep for a children's movie. But not even that, like Ernie, like I just have to say that you kicked so much ass in that like opening scene against people robbing like that mini mall or whatever that is. But I have to say, I know that the classic like karate was part of the obviously the choreography for the martial arts and everything. But what other styles were in there? Because I could have sworn to God, like when I go back and I rewatch Secret of the Ooze, I watched that opening with you. I could have sworn that I saw hints of like influence from Taekwondo, like
yes.
Specifically the Taekwondo point sparring, which is personally what I do. I'm at green
nice.
Belt level now, so
yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So that's what I just wanted to ask, like what other types of martial arts were in there that influenced like the overall style of the fighting and everything.
Yeah, I mean, my original style was Taekwondo. That's what we did when I was a kid growing up. So all of the spinning kicks and the jump kicks and all of that stuff, that's all, you know, Taekwondo. And so that was kind of always been my... Bruce Lee was my hero as a kid growing up, still is, inspired by him. So a lot of my choreography kind of comes from, you know, my interpretation of some of the things that he was doing and talking about. So, but thank you. That's so sweet. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel.
Okay. Before we wrap up, two things.
And good luck to you with your martial arts career.
Yeah.
That's a little scary.
If you need any sparring, call me in.
Before we wrap up, I need two things from the audience. First, big round of applause. Second, if you have not already done this, I need you all to go to their tables, buy a picture, get an autograph, get a photo op.
Just come say hi.
Okay?
Take me home with you, give me a good meal. Yeah.
Somebody make this man a sign.
And then the third, a big Contropolis, New Jersey round of applause one more time for Ernie Talcon and Drew Bay.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Can we do this? What? On three, everybody. A little turtle power. Here you go. Everybody.
One, two, three. Turtle power!
Been watching the Angry Geek Show on Pod TV. Visit our website today. And for guest bookings, email us at theangrygeekshow@gmail.com today.
All right, hey, it's announcement time. I'm Lewis.
I'm Jamie Dolan, that Wonder Woman.
And Jamie, why don't you start off and tell everyone this great big news that I've been holding in? Tell everyone. Our announcement.
So we're just here tonight to thank you guys for voting us into the top 100 spot on New England podcast featured on FeedSpot.